Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave a command part to the other side. The scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." He said to him, "Follow me, let the dead bury their own dead." And when he had gotten into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. He was asleep. Disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Marveled, saying, "That even the winds and the sea obey him." When he had come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce. No one could pass that way. Suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Way off from them, fine. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." He said to them, "Go." They had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea, perished in the water. Kept them, fled, went away into the city, and everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Oh, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. 9 verse 1 says, got into a boat, crossed over. Father, I thank you. Hey, you may be seated. So again, Matthew 8:18 says, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command part to the other side. The other side of what? The side of the Sea of Galilee. Do we have that map, the Sea of Galilee? So he would have been going from around here, Capernaum, and when he says the other side, he means right there. Some scholars think he went down there, but gave a command to go to the other side, right here around Capernaum, down there. Now it says right here, to Nazareth, lived. Rather, where he grew up was around here, all in the northern part of Israel. But verse 19 says, he's approaching a boat. We'll see him get in the boat first. He'll be the first one to get in the boat. Always goes before us if we're hearing him. Allow him to go before us and we join him. But a certain scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man is nowhere to lay his head." And so we were in this verse last week. But the one thing that we didn't talk about last week, which is a really big deal, he refers to him for the first time in the book of Matthew as the Son of Man. He refers himself as the Son of Man. He says, the Son of Man. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man. He's taking on the title, Son of Man. Is there any significance of that? There could not possibly be more. This is a real big deal. Why? Because the expression Son of Man loaded with meaning for the Jews at the time. The Son of Man was a title for the Messiah from the Old Testament book of Daniel. About 500 to 550 years before this time, the prophet Daniel prophesied about the Savior who was coming into the world. The Savior coming into the world. You know, anybody with a pulse, anyone who has a sense of what's going on out there, knows the world needs a Savior. Anyone with a rational mind knows that the world is bent on destroying itself, and the attempts to save itself always fail. Always the world needs a Savior, a God-sent Savior. And the Jewish Old Testament is filled with the prophecy of a coming God-sent Savior, including prophecy from the prophet Daniel. Let's read that. This is Daniel chapter 7. Daniel said, "I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man." That's where the term is. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. Now, either he is the Messiah or he's a crackpot. He's calling himself the coming Savior prophesied by the Jewish prophets. He says, "And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And then to him was given dominion," meaning power, "and glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion." And here in Matthew 8, Jesus is taking this title on himself. "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to hide, to lay his head," he says. Now, we were in this verse 20 last week. What do we say about the verse when he says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head"? It's another way of saying, if you choose Jesus Christ, you're agreeing to him getting all of you. All of you. Nothing is yours anymore. Your home, your money, your time, what you do, your agenda, nothing is yours anymore. If the Lord says stop, you stop. If he says go, you go. He says give this away, give it away. He says keep, keep. If he says speak, speak. If he says be silent, you're silent. Your home, your money, your agenda, it's all the Lord's. So if you're going to get in this boat with me, you better know, is what he's saying to this man. Then verse 21, another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." What do we say about that? No excuse. Sounds crazy. Jesus, he talks like this so that we'll really, really get it. And what are we supposed to get? No excuse. Regardless of how reasonable that excuse may be to the world, is an excuse for delaying giving your heart to Jesus Christ. That's the point he's making. Let the dead go bury their dead. You come with me. Then Matthew 23 says this, and when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Now, the emphasis of these verses is that when Jesus is telling you to go, you need to follow. But it's also true, you don't want to get ahead of Jesus. Now, in my life, I've been an expert at that, running ahead of Jesus Christ. But notice here, he gets in the boat first, and then his disciples follow. Wonderful verse from John chapter 10 says, and when he, speaking of the shepherd, who's Jesus, brings out his own sheep, who are his own sheep? Shout it out. Who are his sheep? That would be you. That would be you. And when he brings out his own sheep, Jesus goes before them. You don't run ahead of the Lord. Sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How many times have I run ahead of the Lord, only to find out he wasn't in what I was doing? Lord, I thought you told me to do this thing. His response is, and when I say his response, I'm not talking about an audible response. The Bible speaks about a still, small voice which speaks heart. But his response is, yeah, I told you to go. I told you to do that, just not now. You're running ahead of me. And so as we grow with the Lord, learn to hear his voice. Interested in how to hear God's voice. Our website, Book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I give sermons about hearing the voice of the Lord. But how many times have I run ahead because I get excited and I'm not hearing? Not now, not now, not now, Steve. Many times. I've been an expert at that. And I'm not perfect yet. I've learned a lot. I'm not perfect yet, though. So, next verse. It says, verse 24, and suddenly, so they're out now. They're out in the Sea of Galilee. Can we have the Sea of Galilee one more time? Can we have that? Here we are. They're out somewhere between Capernaum and the northwest side and somewhere out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It says in verse 24, suddenly a great tempest, a storm, arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. Covered with waves means covered with waves. I mean, these guys were getting hammered by waves that were just crashing on to the boat. I grew up on the ocean with my dad. We used to go out into these storms. And I know what it's like to be covered with waves. But here, this is like a serious thing. These guys are getting hammered. The book of Mark says the boat was filling with water. So continuing on, that at the end of verse 24, it says, but was part in front of the boat. life. At your circumstances. Having your immigration. Some of you, your children. Some of you, situation where there is, you're in a frenzy. Your life has turned upside down. You're in a frenzy. Like we will see thee. Self and if almost by definition Bible says this, great verse, type up, print out, cut out, and put it over your doorpost. You, and who's you? No, it's not. You, who? God. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace, mind is stayed on you. Now, on what basis are you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed, it's glued on the Lord? Why are you in peace? Someone shout it out. What? Okay. Because he's at peace. He is at peace and he's at rest. Ever been in the middle of a frenzy, but there's a leader there who's like totally cool. He's under control. He's at peace. It's infectious. Let me tell you, when you are have your mind glued on the Lord, stayed on the Lord. Can we add that one more time, John? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because God is at peace. He's in an everlasting rest and peace. He always has been, he is, and always will be. Go back to our verse. 25. Then his disciples came to him, woke, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And out. They gotta speak. I'm not exaggerating, by the way. When you're out with that amount of wind and waves, you gotta scream. We are perishing, Lord. What is going on? The book of Mark says, it says, Lord, don't you care about us? We're perishing. 6. Said to them, why are you fearful? Rose, winds in the sea, great calm. really important. Notice the Lord responds to faith even when it is. Notice that. You guys did go to Jesus. You could have run. You said this is hopeless. When your faith is ever so little, when you find yourself in the middle of a frenzy, and your big faith has turned into a barely faith, doesn't matter. Cry out, Lord, save me, I'm perishing. Now, what's wrong with that kind of faith? What's wrong with a barely faith? What's wrong with a barely? Barely believing that God's going to save you. Tiny, tiny little half of a mustard seed. What's wrong with that kind of faith? That doubting, you're doubting what? Sovereignty of God, the promises of God. You're doubting the long history you have with God, where he's come to you over and over and over again. But nevertheless, thank God he rebuked. To be rebuked. When he has a 1, 10, 20 year history of responding, we deserve to have him check us and say, come on, what's up with you? Because without faith, it's possible to please. It'll take any little faith. So important, when you have that little bitty faith, you cry out anyway. You cry out. Marveled, saying, can this be? John, can you? Remember when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man? As I was watching in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Like Son of Man. In other words, he's more than a man. He looks, wow, he just looks like a man. But he's not just a man. One like the Son of Man. And so, that's what's going on here. These guys in verse 27 marvel. Be he. Many translations says, what kind of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. The book of Mark says this. The book of Mark, which is the parallel passage in Mark, this story of the boat is told in Matthew, Mark. Very good idea when you're spending time with God, whenever you're in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, to look. Learn so much. It says, after Jesus turned the wind and the sea and the waves into a great calm, it says, they feared. Remember that. We're going to coming back to this. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So, this history that Matthew is presenting here in chapter 8 at this very point in verse 27, a shift, something new in the disciples, start to realize this is more. They can't articulate it. They don't have the benefit that we have of the whole Bible, but one day they will. They can't articulate it yet. John, who's like a 17-year-old kid, is one of the disciples. He's in this boat. One day he writes in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." One day John's going to fully be able to articulate it. He can't yet. What he's saying right now is, who is this guy? What kind of man is this? And he had come to the other side. So, great calm. They move in the boat. Other side. Have that one more app. So, down here. They were up there. Now they're down here. Down right there now. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. Now, a lot of translations say dangerous, so that no one could pass that way. Verse 29, and suddenly they cried out, saying, so these are the demons, the demonic spirit, a demonic spirit crying out, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time," or before the time? Now, we talked about this last week, right? Due to reading the Bible, and in my mid-20s, when I started reading the Bible for the first time, what's with all these demons? Like, this is weird. I've never seen a demonic manifestation. So we talked about this last week. Interesting that after you get out of the first four books of the Bible, you almost see no actual manifestations again. A couple times in the book of Acts, a couple times at the very end of the book of Revelation, but they're almost not even discussed. But when Jesus is on the scene, it just, what did we speak about last week? It just stirred up the demonic realm. Why? Because the presence of Jesus Christ was a threat to the demonic realm. We talked about it last week. First John says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And in First John also last week, we read, "For this reason, Jesus came to earth to destroy the work of the devil." So the demonic realm is stirred up. Notice they know who he is. What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? So the word had gotten out in the demonic realm that the Son of God, who the book of Revelation chapter 20 says will cast all demons into a lake of fire, he's here. He's in the flesh on planet Earth. It says, verse 30, way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, they're begging Jesus, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine," into there was a herd of pigs. So notice here, there's no doubt in these demons' minds who's in charge. They know who's in charge. The Bible speaks of the fact that although, Calvary Chapel, you may not see actual demonic manifestations where you're looking at a demon or a person who is clearly possessed by a demon, you may not see that. But there's a very real spiritual battle that is discussed after the book of Acts quite prominently in the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, a very real spiritual battle that every Christian is involved with, because Satan opposes anything and everybody who lives for the glory of God. If you were not here last week, I recommend that you listen to the message. It is ever so important you understand that your Lord, Jesus Christ, has absolute authority. Very, very important that you understand that. You can have full confidence that a demon, Satan, can't touch you. But there's one condition. You know, right? What is it? That you're walking. Very important verse. 1 John 3:18. I really have this one memorized. He who has been born of God. And that means anybody who is a child of God. And the book of John, chapter 1, says whoever believes in Jesus, whoever has received him, has been given the right, has become a child of God, born of God, not born of a husband's will or of a human's decision. Hey, let's have a baby. No. Born of God. He who has been born of God, that's speaking of who? You. He who has been born of God keeps himself. Now, what does that mean? You don't jump out of Jesus' hands. You stay with him. You stay in the word. You're not in rebellion. You're not feeding your flesh just going off into the world. You're staying. You're instead of feeding off the pleasures of the world, you're feeding off the pleasures. David says in Psalm 16, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He who has been born of God keeps himself. If you're taking notes, right in the Bible, it's whoever keeps himself in the love of God. Be that book of Jude, which is really close to 1 John. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the place where you're loving God, loving others, and receiving the love of God. Keep yourself. So he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Not touch you. You're not going to get beaten up by the devil. But if you decide, you know, I just want a sin vacation, you're going to get beaten up bad. You're going to get all bloodied up by the devil. Important that you understand that. What verse are we talking about? Demons are like, I know you're going to cast us out, but if you cast us out, could we go into those pigs? They know who's in charge. And the Lord Jesus, he has charge over your life. And you have full protection against spiritual attack. Let's move on. Verse 32. So Jesus said to them, go. That's all he needs. One word. He says to the demons, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they perished in the water. They all drowned. Verse 33 says, and those who kept them fled. So there were these guys out there taking care of these pigs. And when they saw it, they ran away. They says they went into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then it says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Last Tuesday, I was in Psalm 69 on Tuesday night. Midweek service. Psalm 69 is a psalm which, those psalms which are extraordinary, actually quotes Jesus while he is on the cross. Verse there that just my heart so much as I was preparing. Approach broken, insults. Because when Jesus was on the cross, it says that as people passed by, they wagged their heads, they blasphemed, and they said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he's the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, get down from the cross." And we have this messed up view of Jesus. Like he's just up there, just, and the words are just flinging off of him. Boing, boing, boing. It says it broke his heart. You break your heart when you say, Lord, no, I don't want to do this. And you walk away from him. Reproach, insult, rejection breaks the heart of Jesus. Why am I saying this? They came out to Jesus. He went all the way across the sea to save these people. And they said, leave. We don't want you here. Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. Meaning, he's got a sensitivity, a tenderness to him, much more than even the most tender person in this room. Approach. Broken my heart. On the cross, not only was there blood coming out of his wrists, his feet, his back, he had been whipped, his beard had been plucked out, there was a thorn on his head. His heart was broken. Men were saying, the whole city comes out. They just say, begged him to depart from their region. Verse 9 says, so he got into the boat, crossed over, and came. So the whole city begging him. Why are they all there? Whole city. And you know, two men, demon-possessed, they weren't even in the city, they were outside the city. Now, they were in a graveyard because they lived in the tombs. Why does the whole city come out, and why did they beg him? Well, to give you a better picture of what happened here, in the book of Mark, it says that before the demons were cast out, Jesus asked the man who had the demons in him what his name was. Now, you shouldn't do that if you ever meet a demon-possessed person. Don't be talking with the devil like Jesus does. But Jesus asked the man what his name was, and the demons responded. And this is what they said. Then Jesus asked them, what's your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, a legion is a Roman militia comprised of 6,000 soldiers. There were 6,000 demons in those two men. 6,000 demons. Now, you can only imagine the impact that had on that city with this kind of demonic presence nearby. I don't know what was going on fully, but it was really big. Now, the demons asked to go into the pigs, into the swine. Jesus says, go. And the 6,000 demons are cast out of the men. They go into the swine. Now, in the book of Mark, it says there were 2,000 pigs in this herd. 2,000. So you have 6,000 demons going into 2,000 pigs. And immediately a stampede is triggered of 2,000 animals. They rush down into the sea and they just plunge into it and they all die. Now, you can only imagine people witnessing this. Again, who is this man? Now, very important. It says that in Luke chapter 8, which is in the parallel account, and we have Luke chapter 8, it says, then the whole multitude of the surrounding regions of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. Now you may read a commentator that said, oh, they were so into their money, they're so materialistic, they had just lost their... That's not the reason they plead with them to leave. They were seized with great fear. Why? Why was that? Why were they seized with great fear? Because it's the same reason that the disciples in the boat said when they saw the wind and the waves and the sea calmed into a great calm, they said, who is this man? These people, after they had seen this kind of power and witnessed it, they're the same way. I don't know who this is, but it's not a man. Please get out of here. Get out of here. They feared exceedingly, and they said, get out of here. Just like the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 41. Let's see that again, John. It says, they feared exceedingly after they saw the winds and the waves. Who can this be? It's even the wind and the waves and the sea obey him. And so here you have it. After Jesus cast the 6,000 demons out of the men, which went into the herd and the swine, he triggers a massive stampede into the sea. Again, it says in Luke, it says, then the whole multitude and the surrounding were seized with great fear, just like the fear, the exceeding fear that the disciples had. It was the same reaction to Jesus' power. However, the first group of people, they stayed with Jesus. Even when he got to the other side, when he went into the boat, they stayed with him. They stayed close to them. They knew he was God. They submitted to God. The second group of people, they said, get out of here. Leave us alone. Which one are you? Now, really now. Which one are you? What is your response, Jesus Christ? Oh, you may go to church time to time. But you keep him carefully distant from having any kind of real say-so in your life. Is that you? When he starts getting too close to an area of sin in your life that you like, that, you know, that nerve center that becomes, whoa, you're getting too high. Would you get out of here? Would you get out of here, God? Were you like the disciples? It says in a later account of the disciples in a storm that Jesus calmed, it says they fell down and they worshiped him. Starts getting close into an area. You may never have seen this area in your life. He's exposing it to you as sin. Let me tell you, God, over the years, I've been walking with God for 38 years now. He's still exposing areas I've never even seen before. What's your response, Calvary Chapel? Do you say, whoa, I never bought that. I never bargained for that. Or do you get down on your knees and say, yes, Lord? Let me call up the worship team at this time. If you could rise and stand for the closing worship song. Been asked to pray, if you could please come up. Before the disciples got into that boat, he had made it really clear what a life with Jesus was about. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, nowhere to lay its head. Meaning, you get into this boat, I'm in charge. You get into the boat with Jesus, he calls the shots. Let me bury my father. Let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. And never promised an easy life after you do that. In fact, when you do it, you may find that your life starts getting hammered with waves in a storm. But rest assured, he is the peace in that storm. The Bible says in Psalm 34, the righteous have many afflictions, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Some of you in this room, as soon as Jesus gets close, it's like those Gadarenes. You're like, okay, you can't cross that line. Some of you in this room, you're like that. Leave me alone now. The Lord doesn't want you to leave this that same place. Not just a Bible study. Not just a Bible study where we learn more about the Bible on Sunday morning. It's a place to do business with God, to encounter the Lord. Always a call to repent and turn, because in Christ there are pleasures forevermore. Always a pathway to joy. Live with Jesus Christ. So, if you have never in your life gotten into the boat with Jesus, never said, "Okay, take it, own it." Come on up. We want to pray for you. You're in the middle of a storm and you want us to pray for you. Come on up. Anything else in this sermon? There was just conviction. Word was going out about these people. Begged with Jesus. Okay, just get out of here. Maybe that's you. That was everyone at some point in this room did that, said that, if not with their lips, in their heart. There's grace. God loves mercy, the Bible says. Micah 7:7, it says, "What is, O man, does God require of you? That you do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God." Why does God ask us to love mercy? Because he loves mercy. He loves giving mercy. Want mercy for whatever. Come up and pray this time. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you what it did in my heart, just caring. And Lord, I just pray in everyone's heart, Lord, that you would finish the work that you started.